Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. So this morning, that is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the power of change. I want to talk about increasing what we know so that we can bring change into our lives, because I think a lot of people are ready for a change. I really believe that. Amen. And you only know what you know. So this message this morning is called Change Forever. Change Forever. That's the name of the message. And you only know what you know. I didn't know until this morning that you could wear clothes made out of wood. Did you know there's someone in here with clothes with a dress made out of wood on? Seriously? I didn't know that. I hope this type of knowledge doesn't get me into trouble. But the fibers are made from wood pulp. Did anyone know that you could make clothing from wood pulp? So anyway, if you'd like to know more about that, speak to Pastor Linda after the service. Amen. And you know what? I didn't even know it was wood pulp. And she says, "Can I have a second opinion this morning?" And I said, "Sweetheart, you look fabulous." So it didn't matter, you know. But there you go. You don't know what you don't know. And so I'd like to talk about change this week. We're interrupting the parable series. We're probably going to finish that on the perfect number 8, which will be the next time we do it. Because I believe this message is important for now. And I've thought the reason I wanted to bring this today is because over the last few weeks, with all of my communication with people, some through conversations, some people have come with prayer requests, some I've picked up in wider company just by being observant, not eavesdropping, just by being observant. And a lot of people are openly sharing the challenges that they face. And I'm telling you now, some people are at the very brink of despair and desperation. And they don't know what else to do. And they don't know if things are going to change or how they can change them. And some of us have been at that point where we've said, if things don't change, then fill in your blank. You know, if things don't change, I'm bad. I say I'm bad. I'm bad for this one. For me, it's usually, if things don't change, I just don't know what's going to happen, but it won't be good. And I'm like, what a clumsy statement. What a negative confession. How ignorant of me to make a statement like that. If things don't change, I don't know what's going to happen, but it won't be good. But we've got to watch out, because this thing, just one inch beneath our nose, is going to get us into a lot of trouble. And so it's just a weak confession. And we sow seeds with our words, don't we? And once a word is spoken, it can't be unspoken. So you speak your words and they're out there. Pastor Tom loves talking about quarks. And a quark is a tangible physical bit of sound that exists in our universe that has a frequency that resonates and has power. And so our voices, the tone of our voices, what we say, everything has such a lot of power. And so when we speak words, they germinate, they evolve, and they grow until eventually they bear fruit. And I like to look at it this way. Our words have outcomes. Amen. And if my dependency is in anyone or anything other than God, I will experience the outcome produced by what I've put my faith and my trust in. There will be an outcome no matter what happens. So I'm so glad that God's word is full of instruction and revelation on outcomes. So if things don't change, and I don't know the specifics of what might happen, but I can have knowledge of certain outcomes because I can find them in God's word, can't I? So a lot of the times it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if this is going to change. And God's like, well, you might not know specifically, but see, if you go to my word, you'll find there have been outcomes there. All throughout the centuries, there have been outcomes. You know, this is a book of human behavior. You might think you're the one and only. But, you know, he did, and thank God he made us all unique. Some more unique than others. But do you know what? Human behavior is pretty much, you know, it's there and it goes across the human strata, doesn't it? So if I can find out some information on these outcomes and study them and see what caused things to change, then I can not only turn a situation around, but I can turn a life around, can't I? So if I look at something and say, how did something that started so well end up so badly? Or how did someone that started off so badly end up so well? You know, I'm like, wow, okay. So there's actually a transition, a transformation, a change that can take place. You could have started out badly and you will end up well. You could also have started out well and end up badly. And in the Bible, we can find outcomes that explain that to us. You know, we can look at Moses. He didn't have a great start. And he went through a lot of stuff. Same with David, you know, just falling into the pit of sin and all sorts of other things. But they ended well. But then we look at maybe Solomon or Samson. And they had a good start. But what happened was the outcome was bad at the end. So for various reasons. So you get this thing, and of course there's the best example is the one who started out with the greatest acclaim ever. He was in heaven, the worship leader in heaven. He started well, didn't he? He was an angel of light. You know, it was just like he was just shone so bright, and we know what the outcome of that was. When a third of heaven's beings chose to follow him, it ended badly. Amen. And there's a place reserved for him, not for you, not for us. You know, that place of separation from God for eternity was created for Satan and for the beings that followed him. Not for us. It was never intended for humanity. So I want to talk about what turned impending defeat into a victory. Who's felt defeated? Who has felt defeat? Who is, you know, even in the wee little minutiae of a life, you can start off your day great, and then at 10 o'clock someone says something to you, and it's like it crushes you. It's like a blow, and you feel like just escaping somewhere. You know, so everything can happen just like that. What can turn a victory that's just been won into a defeat? What can turn someone from fear and terror into faith and peace? What can bring calm to an anxious mind and an anxious heart? What can change that? What can turn confusion into clarity? So many people nowadays, I'm sensing like a spiritual fog. Just a lot of confusion, lots of confusion. And what can turn clarity into confusion? It goes both ways. Amen. What turns someone from hating other people into giving up his life in service of them? I'm talking about Saul becoming Paul, who was like, I'm going to murder every Christian that I can get my hand on. I'm going to persecute them. And his life was changed, and he spent the rest of his life building the church. Isn't that amazing? And we can go on and on because the Bible is full of stories of transformation. Amen? That things can turn from bad to good and from good to bad. Here's the other thing that's involved in change, because I think we're all looking for change to stick and be permanent. Well, that is if it's good change. We want a good change to happen and we want it to stay. But we're all concerned about the speed of change. How long is this going to take? How long is it going to take for me to get, I find this nowadays, with some of my pupils, they think that they just have to attend class to get the qualification. You have to do some work and you have to have knowledge of this subject. And at the end, you'll graduate with a qualification or an award. It's like, how long is this going to take? It's like, I just want my certificate right now. I want the graduation now, but I'm not putting in the investment of time and everything. And I love saying this to young people. You've got to know the sorrow of study to know the joy of graduation. Yeah, what do you think? Yeah. Yes, because study is awful. I found it awful, at least schoolwork. I think it's easy. When you study something you love, it's easy. But my, if you put your comic book in your maths textbook, and then your dad walks in and you're like, you turn the page, math, algebra. And that's, so it's all about this speed of change. Let me read this to you in Proverbs 24, from verse 33. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. A little bit of sleep, a little bit of slumber, before you know it, you've been robbed. You've been overtaken. And, so the speed that things happen is sometimes it's not in our control. God doesn't wear a wristwatch. Does he? He doesn't wear a rich watch. His time is eternal. Amen. It's us that determine the speed with which things become better or worse. We have the ability to accelerate or delay the outcomes that we will experience in life. It's all down to you and I. We can either speed things up or we can slow things down through our choices. Amen? And can I just say that before continuing, one of the greatest books in the Bible to go to gain knowledge and wisdom regarding outcomes is the book of Proverbs. It's a stoter. If you need to find out about outcomes, go to Proverbs. Amen? So, in many cases, for our lives to turn around and to change, all we need is an exchange. All right? So this morning, I want to introduce the fact that change is... Does anyone think change is impossible? Someone once said, change is here to stay. So get used to it. It is here to stay. Amen? So change is possible. And with God, and that's the key, with God, all right? With surrender to God, not only is change possible, but it's highly probable that things will change. Okay? And I love that. I love that God's promises. This will happen. It's highly probable that this is going to happen. In Mark 10:27, we know that it says, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So some of us, we get stuck in the cycle of rehearsing the same things that have been happening in our life over and over again. A lot of negative perceptions. Pardon me. Bad outlooks. Pessimistic. Have you ever heard of determination? And a lot of this, it's like, this is going to happen. How am I going to escape this? How am I going to avoid this? I want to say that if we rehearse that all the time, we will never give change the opportunity to happen. Some of us visit the same watering hole over and over again, and we expect the water to change different, to taste different the next time we go. And sometimes we've got to change the watering hole, or change the well that we go to. And that's the thing. We don't consider this. If we want different results, we've got to change our approach. Amen? And I think that many of us are just happy with the approach that we've always had. I've always done it this way. And so, and that's why I've always been, I think I've always been aware that anything can happen at any time. Like this morning, Mini Kids Life wasn't scheduled to be on, but our creche flooded. And it's going to get fixed, and we're going to have favor with the insurance company, and everything's going to be fine. But things just happen just like that. Amen. And so the most important change we can make in our lives is to move from having our natural perspectives to having a heavenly perspective. And I think that this is one of the main things that we want to concentrate on this morning. If we want change to happen, we need to change our perspective. Okay? What's a good way of doing that? Getting a different perspective. Attitude and altitude. Because what happens when you go higher? You can see further, can't you? Yeah? You can see further. So what we need to do is move to a place of elevation. Yes. Hallelujah. A place of elevation. A higher place where our perspective's no longer earthbound. It's from heaven. Amen. We have a different vantage point from up here. Amen. Down here, there's plenty of discouragement, but up there, there's unlimited encouragement. Amen, church. Down here, there's tons of discouragement, but up there, there's unlimited encouragement in that heavenly realm. Amen. You know, and it's the same as, I think Jesus was very clever using, you know, that scripture about faith moving mountains, because our mountains usually look twice as big as they actually are. And he's saying, like, you have to get if you've seen the mountain from my perspective, it just looks like a wee molehill. But we don't, we see it as ginormous. It, like, it fills up our whole vision is the scale of this problem or this issue. Amen. And because they cast such huge shadows over us, we stand in the shadow of these massive problems, staring at them, paralyzed, not knowing what we need to do. And so, but if we get above them, they don't become, they're no longer intimidating, you know? And someone said this, I heard this one time, see if you're getting bullied all the time, there's someone that's always on your case, imagine them as a wee baby with a nappy on. You know, just, you know, you've got this big, ugly bully. And just see them, it's how do you perceive that person to be? You know? And so, and that's the thing. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. He pretends to be this scary, and listen, we don't take anything lightly, but he uses fear and intimidation to keep you where he wants you to be. And ultimately, what does he want you to do? He wants you to give up your faith in God. It's really simple. All the devil wants you to do is give up your faith in God. That's all he wants to do. Amen. But let's get above them. If you go to Mount Everest from base camp, Mount Everest is pretty awe-inspiring. But if you fly over Mount Everest in a Boeing 747, it looks totally different, doesn't it? So are we seeing things from our perspective or from heaven's perspective? And I can relate to this because I love flying. I love being in an aircraft. Man, I love it. I love being above the clouds. And just for a few hours, wherever your destination is, you know, I used to just always get the window seat. Now, unfortunately, I avoid the window seat. I'm getting a bit older. I need the aisle handy. You know, I need to get up, walk around. I might need to go to the toilet. And I'm like, oh, but I really wish I had a window seat. I'll just pray I get an open row so I can do whatever I want. But I love just looking out and seeing, you know, a lot of great inspiration comes when, I love flying. You get above the clouds and you look down and you're like, oh, Lord, your creation, this is amazing to see all the cotton wool clouds, and you fly and It's just so serene and it's so peaceful. And you look up and you're like, ah, the heavens, they stretch out infinitely. And here I am. And then and you come back down to earth. You come back under the clouds and you land on the ground. I think it's very transformational. So, you know, let's say you're facing a big problem. The problem can actually drive a wedge between you and God. A problem can come between you and God because you change your focus and you place it on the problem and no longer on God. We shift our focus. Amen? So what do you need? You need direction. You need the explanation of what's required to overcome the problem. So if we're earthbound, we look for the explanation in our mind. Isn't that right? But if we look for the explanation in our spirits, our true inner man, our spirits, providing that our spirits are yielded and they're surrendered to God, amen, our understanding of how to overcome the big problem is going to be clear. So a lot of times we don't understand how this is going to change. We don't understand how it's going to happen. But we are looking from an earthbound perspective. We're looking to our mind for an explanation. What's the logic in this? Why did this happen? This morning on the way to church, we avoided 3 accidents. No kidding. 3, and we weren't to blame, were we, sweetheart? And we had before we even got to Saulcoats, we had two, Sunday morning driver, what? And then the third one was a jogger, and I actually foolishly said, another bad confession, well, we'll probably get another one to make it 3. It's terrible. And so we have this earthbound perspective that we need to break out of, don't we? And so, once we get understanding from God's word, the problem we'll have the explanation on how to change things. Amen? So we need direction. We could look at scripture for ages, analyze the lives of biblical heroes and villains, and actually recommend you to do that because it's worth doing. But let's just look at a few brief points this morning before we close about how we can change our perspective. Amen. And we can either embrace these or we can reject them. Amen. We can either allow God to change us or we can resist God and not let him change us. And then our choices ultimately will impact on what changes in our lives and what doesn't. Do you believe that? And when it will change as well. So do we want to change? Yeah. Amen. So I'll give just a few because I know I've got probably more than time allows, but I want to offer some things to you that will enable you to make change and to make it stick, all right? So change forever is achievable. Change forever is something that you can actually achieve. You can change forever. You don't have to stay the same as you are, or, you know, you can change. Amen? And that sounds like the end of a Rocky movie, but, you know, you can change. Amen? So number one, depend on God every single day. Fully depend on God every single day and have faith in God. If we fully depend on God every single day, change is already going to start happening. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Keeping our faith and trust in him. Amen. Number two, worship God every day. And this is one of the biggest ones. Worship opens up a world of change. Worship God every single day. And you know, if I had a small person here, you can stay with your brother. But you can imagine. This morning, many of you were standing in this room with your hands raised, worshiping. Now you imagine if we had wee Caleb or something in here and he ran up to the front here and he lifts his hands up and he's saying, pick me up. And that's what we're doing when we worship. We're raising our hands and it's as if God picks us up. He picks us up and he says, now you're looking at things from my level. How did you get to that place? through worship. When you're just a wee toddler guy and you're running around Silverburn and it's like all these big people and all this stuff and then you go like this, daddy, pick me up, and dad or mum picks you up. What happens? You're no longer at knee level or at waist level. You're at everyone's eye level. And this is what happens when we worship God. God picks us up and our vantage point changes from being down there to up here. So that's the power of worship. You want to change your life, begin to worship every day. I still sing all the charismatic songs from the 1980s. They're stuck in there somewhere. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what we, and so it's just getting that attitude of praise and letting it lead you into worship to change. The third one, pray every day. Don't miss prayer. I mean, if you strive for an hour or two of prayer, rather pray for 5 minutes of concentrated prayer, 10 minutes, 20 minutes of prayer, and then develop a habit of talking to God throughout the day. So pray every day. In Mark 1:35, Jesus got up early, he rose before dawn, and he went to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Amen? So prayer will bring the momentum that's needed for change to happen. Number four, read God's word every day. Yes. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is the Amplified. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice. Dedicate your lives as a living. The problem with living sacrifices is this. They always want to run off the altar because they're still alive. we're a living sacrifice. And living things move. Dead sacrifices stay put. They don't go anywhere, but we have to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? That means that every 10 minutes, if necessary, you need to make a correction and get back. Come from the left, come from the right, because as a living sacrifice, we're always trying to live. You know what? Let's just be real. We're not always the most sacrificial people. We can be very scared of sacrifice. We can be, and the tithes video was amazing. Yeah. I mean, what must have been going through Abraham's mind to sacrifice his son? He must have had such faith. He must have had such confidence. And he must have known that Yahweh was, whatever you say, Lord. And so I think that we'll walk into days where we will understand the power of sacrifice, of being living sacrifices, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And don't be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. Amen. How do we renew our minds? By the washing of the water of the word. Read the word every day and change will come. If you don't have a job and you need a job, and you're going for a job interview, don't go into that job interview without reading the word. I got a job on the strength of one quote from the Bible once. And it's like, you don't quote the Bible in a job interview, yeah? It's like, are you crazy? And I was in front of a panel of people, and I used two biblical principles, and I explained them, and then I left the interview. And we all got put into one room, and I thought, this is it, this is the cut room. This is the ones that are getting cut. There was 100 people there. It was all down to 100 people, and 10 of us ended up in a room, and I'm like, this is it. And then a guy came in and said, you got the job. And I'm convinced, and the way home, I rolled the windows of the car down, and I cried, and I screamed, and I shouted out the window, because I knew God, the Spirit spoke so strongly to me and said, if it wasn't for what you said, if I had not put this in your heart, the principle that you're never too young to teach and you're never too old to learn, you would not have got through to that panel. And so I just used what God had already given me in my heart. And so reading God's word is important. It brings change. It'll change you from being out of job to in job. It'll change you from being skint to having enough. It'll change you from having relationship difficulties to having solid relationships. All of these things. Amen. How are we doing? Okay, I think we'll squeeze one or two in. Number five, choose paths of righteousness every day. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be afflicted with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Choose a path every day. Moses chose not to, he was very powerful in Egypt. You know, he was a captain, he was, you know, over people, but he chose to, I'm going with my people. I'm going with my people. Amen. So stay on the path. Choose to walk a path of righteousness every day. Because what Egypt could offer him was great, but the riches of heaven were even greater. Amen. This is a great one in Job 23:10. He knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I'll come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way, and I have not turned aside. Amen. Amen. So choose the paths of righteousness every day. And we might just finish with this one. Number six, will we stop fighting against God? Amen. It was amazing. Pauline prayed this morning, and it's in my notes. Don't resist the hands of the potter. We are the clay. We are the clay. And it's like, you know what? Have you ever seen a clay on a potter's wheel? And when they're trying to get it centered, it won't behave. It's like, you know, it's going all over the place. And it's like, you know what? In fact, what's this here? What's this? Oh, here we go. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter, and we are the work of your hands. But we try to resist the work of his hands. We try and fight against the potter. We try and fight against that. So we've got to stop fighting against God. We've got to stop resisting him. Amen? And this is where we've got to understand that when a new creation doesn't mean to say that you've just been altered a little bit or tweaked. You were recreated. From the inside out, Jesus at the center of it all, from my heart to the heavens, from the inside out. Jesus just doesn't modify you. He doesn't modify your behavior. He recreates you. You're a new creation. So it's important to know that, because so many people think that, you know what, this is genetic. What I have is predetermined. What's going on in my life is determined by the environment, by the people around me. I got it from my parents and all of this. And I do understand the power of God created us. We know the power of DNA and what we inherit. But God, it's a heart thing. Amen? So we're not trapped in this deterministic outcome. So the outcomes don't have to be what we think they're going to be. They can be his outcomes. Bad can be good, but good can also be bad. Don't let the environment shape you. Be shaped by God's Spirit, by his word. Amen. Be in Christ. So I had another few points, and for those interested, I can email you a PDF of my notes this morning. But these are things that will make our change permanent. There's things that will hinder making change permanent. Being familiar, having partial commitment, having doubt, struggling with doubt. I know struggling with doubt can be a natural thing, but these things can hinder change. Self-talk, too much too soon, inconsistency, immaturity. That's why the Bible calls us to come up higher, to be mature believers, to be defeated by temptations. And I believe that you have the strength of God in you. I believe we do. And we just have to take a hold of it, embrace it. And change is going to happen. So if you've been hoping for a change this morning, try and just meditate on those 5 or 6 points and put them into action. And that is how things are going to change. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.